Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 John as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
So he says in verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother," and you're not demonstrating love of Christ here, "is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." 3 points to note here in this verse that you could have a little sermon outline from about the way that the darkness affects us. One is that we find it affects our place. The Bible says that he that hateth his brother is in darkness. That's the dwelling place. That's kind of where we set up camp. It affects the place where we are currently at in our life. Not only does it affect our place, but it affects our path. He's in darkness and he walketh in darkness. So he's presently in darkness and he continues to tread that path. So it affects our place, it affects our path, and then, if that hasn't sealed the fate enough, it affects our perception. The Bible says not only is he in the darkness, not only is he walking in the darkness, continuing in that way, but he knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. The very way that he's viewing things now has been distorted and changed because of this darkness. It's affected his place, it's affected his path, and it's affected his perception, the way that he interprets events around him, the troubles in his life, and the problems he's facing, or the things other people say to him. Suddenly, it's all interpreted differently because he doesn't know any better. That darkness has literally clouded and changed his perception. And so it's a triple threat that we see there in that verse, the danger of dabbling in that darkness. You've heard the old saying that sin will take you, was it farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You always get more than you bargain for when you play with sin, without fail. And here's a great example of that effect: our place where we are now, our path where we're going, and our perception, the way that we see things. Well, he continues on in verse number 12 to say, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Literally, these new believers in Christ, he's writing unto you, letting you know, you have a fresh start, a clean slate. No matter where you're coming from or what you've done, you have a new start here in Christ Jesus. You've been given a fresh robe of his righteousness, and it's up to you now to make the best of it, to walk in that light. And so we all come at that same starting point, that fresh start. Each and every one of us should be able to look back to that time when we could be that little child, knowing that our sins were forgiven for his name's sake. Regardless of our education, regardless of our spiritual level of discernment, our sins are forgiven us for his name's sake. We all get to start right there with that fresh start. Verse 13, he says, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning." They've proven him. They have known him. It's not just a fresh and a new perception that they've been given in life. This is something that they've witnessed some things for a long time now. They're spiritually mature, and they've seen stuff that they ought to be sharing and teaching to these little children. "I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one." Well, what would he be saying here? We still wrestle with these things. We still fight these things, but these things of the sin nature and temptations. But if you think the devil fights hard for a soul before that moment of conversion, once he loses that fight, you better believe he's bearing down on them now that, hey, I may have lost their soul for eternity, but I'm going to take what I can get now in this life. God may have them after they die, but I'm going to make sure he doesn't use them for anything good the rest of their life. And there's so many new converts, new believers, that they're led to the Lord and they make that profession of faith. And then they fall by the wayside because there's no discipleship. There's no bringing them alongside to guide them. And they meet an opposition like they have never known once they make that choice to follow Christ. Suddenly, enemies rear their head they didn't know existed. From within their own walls, their own families, co-workers, places that they found refuge for years, suddenly look at them completely different. And they have to make that decision to continue to follow Christ despite the cost, or if they're going to be discouraged and give up. And these young men here are the folks that they've made that choice to continue past that discouragement and grow in Christ. They were once that babe in Christ with the new milk and all, but now they're starting to feast on that meat, the deeper things of the Word, because they've overcome that initial discouragement in their life of saying, you've done enough, you've got it, stop and revert back to the way that you were, you're safe now, it's okay. Well, they've overcome that. Well, he says, I write unto you, little children, again, because ye've known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Here he sees no issue whatsoever in repeating his previous sentiment to make sure that everybody knows he's addressing them for a specific reason. Despite their spiritual level of maturity, this message is to each of them. There's something for everyone to glean. Verse 15, right here, is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There is not room for both. Jesus told us, man cannot serve two masters, for he will grow to love the one and hate the other. If we fill our life, I talked about that, the things that we take in, if it's the things of the world, there can be no room for the love of Christ to be manifest in our life. That's the importance of fixating our focus on things above and not things down below here on the earth. We ought to be setting up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Nobody can steal it or take it away from us. It's eternally secure. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, this is obviously not talking about don't love the people out there in the world. We've already established we're to show that love of Christ to everyone. This is literally talking about the world order, the way that it's set up, the things that are in the world. We can become so fixated on various aspects, even as a point of danger of even worshiping this great nation. America is a wonderful place. There's no place like her on the face of the earth, the freedoms that we've been afforded today. But you can take that too far to the point that when some people will have to make a choice between America and the things of Christ, you know what takes precedence in their life? America. Nothing should be elevated above the position and the influence of Christ in our life. So there is nothing. God bless America. God, I praise God for the people that have sacrificed for our freedoms and the people that faithfully defend our freedom. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The point being that we ought to use those freedoms to bring honor and glory to God and not to get caught up in all the chatter and the gossip and the hatred and the back and forth between whatever's going on out there, from politics to water cooler talk, whatever it may be. Don't get distracted by those things. That's why the Bible talks about the nations before God. He says it in Isaiah. Literally, there is nothing, there has nothing to him there, even as a vanity. It'll all pass away. All of it. So make the most of what we have now while we still can. And know that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Don't fill yourself with love for the things of the world so that the love of God has no room to reside therein and make itself known.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.